Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
Ah, the nights are fair drawn in, and so are the Bairns. Temperature, in fact, is dropping as well, and it's minus 15 over in Fife right now. Hello, I'm John McInally. Welcome to Falkirk Daft, where the Bairns are at the top of the championship. Come on. As ever, joined by the ginger god of pod, the one man band in the main stand, Ross Wayne.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, and I think you're a little rough.
It is morning. We're recording this in the morning because it is obviously, I think, it's school holiday time, which means you're off to Centre Parks, aren't you?
Yes,
got with your companion dog.
Yeah, with my companion.
Can we tell that story on here? I think we should. I think like listeners.
Right. Okay. Right,
Centre Parks is going to be listening, Ross. No, the stage true. Is
well,
yours.
You better fucking hope not. So yes, a few weeks ago, for people that are on my social media, my Facebook might know, we got a puppy and little Milo, and however, we had this pre-booked holiday down to Centre Parks this week, and there wasn't any pet friendly lodges left for us to sort of switch to. However, someone had told my wife that if you tell them that you like suffer from anxiety or stress levels without the companion,
I mean, being a Falkirk supporter is understandable.
Well, that's true. I do suffer from regular bouts of anxiety, and but yeah, no, they said that if you tell them you need it for like the dog for anxiety, not but like companionship reasons, they will allow. So I had to make a phone call and let them know that we do suffer from. Companionship issues, and could we get the dog in? And I knew the woman. I knew she didn't believe a word I was saying, but she couldn't disprove otherwise. So Milo is now getting to go on holiday with us, which is the main thing.
I hope they check when you go. You know how you go into Centre Parks and you go through the gates and all that sort of. I hope they check your anxiety levels.
Listen, I'll just need to pretend of some levels. I'll pretend I'm a Dunfermline fan. I'd be pretty bloody anxious if I was a Dunfermline fan, wouldn't I?
I know. So we're recording in the morning, and I'm slightly hungover. It was at a family get together yesterday for most of the day, and we did that whole thing. You know, people recreate photos from their childhood. We did that yesterday. So it was my cousins Paul and Donna, my brother David, and we had this picture where back in the day I was being the oldest cousin. I was on the bottom of a pileup. So my brother was on top of me, and then my cousin Paul was on top of him, and then my cousin Donna was on top. Try doing that when you're in your 40s and recreating that. I was stuck at the bottom as well, so it was interesting, but it was a good laugh. Anyway, so slightly worse for wear today, lots of drink consumed, lots of Indian ate. So yes, little rough, but here we are, 101 years old this podcast is now. Thank you very much for all your feedback on the 100th episode, which we did in the studio last week. I think it was about 2,000 odd people watched it in the end, plus listened to it as well. That was 500, 600.
Absolutely fantastic. And it was a good laugh, as we said last week doing it, and we'll maybe do it again.
We'll definitely do it again, but on a Sunday morning when you're slightly hungover, today is not the day. But we'll do specials. We'll definitely do specials. Before we get into the news and everything from the club, I've got to say thanks very much to our sponsors, Falkirk Football Fans and Training. The T8s support each other through football every Monday at the stadium between 8 and 9 and Tuesday between 7:30 and 8:30. Details on the Lava Cup, actually spoke to Ian. They're coming very, very soon. That's going to be happening back at the stadium next season, so it's great. And they have a new initiative with Falkirk Foundation Walking Football Squad, which is Super Vets Football. Now, Joe, our friend Joe Hind, who's been on this as a pundit, she has decided to do a jingle for Super Vets Football, which she sent on to us. I'm just trying to find it just now so we can get it played on the podcast. Bear with me. Here we go. So we've now got a jingle for Super Vets Football. You ready for this? Our radio producer should have thought of this myself, but here we go.
Super Vets Football.
Yes, it's happening down at the stadium every Friday. It's basically over 50s, 8-a-side, but playing to old school 5-a-side rules. And that's happening at the stadium 5 till 6. And that, of course, is
Super Vets Football.
Yes, it is. So get down to the stadium, get involved. All the details are in the link below. And you know what you can say? We all say the Falkirk Football fans and training, it's all about that camaraderie, all about meeting new people, having a laugh, and getting into hospital because they are in there all the time. So speak to Ian, Willie, or Dougie, and like I say, the links are below if you want to get involved with that. Right, Falkirk Daft Live is not far away, Ross.
Yeah, officially, a week on Friday, which feels a bit scary.
A week on Friday, we will be on the stage at Behind the Wall, two nights before Kiki D is there. So, yeah, it's going to be a great night. There might be some returns coming on the tickets. Actually, I think there might potentially might be two coming in, so we'll let you know on our socials if that is the case. I've had a t-shirt specially made thanks to Gordon at Pints and Prints. It arrived yesterday. I cannot wait to wear it on the night, and once you see this t-shirt you'll get why I'm so excited about it. And it will be available on Pints and Prints after the event as well. There's going to be bucket hats. We've got Falkirk Daft bucket hats to sell on the night as well, so bring some cash along. We've got the last of the bucket hats, which we've got printed up for the Cup semi-final, which seems an eternity ago.
It does feel a long time ago, doesn't it?
So we're going to be selling those on the night as well. So if you, it's, did we agree it was going to be £10 a hat, wasn't it?
£10, yep. Cash yeah. Only.
And it's fully reversible, so you can have a navy blue or a white version. You can.
That's it, indeed. Right. Yeah, I think we've got about 15 or 16 of them between the two sizes, so... first come, first served.
Obviously. Yeah, Lee Miller's going to be there on the night. I messaged Lee yesterday just to double check everything was okay because I'm on holiday for the next 2 weeks. I thought I'll just kind of dot the I's, cross the T's. And I said, right, what do you want for your walk-on music, Lee? And he wasn't too sure, so I did suggest two songs, one being Sex Bomb by Tom Jones and the other being Shawn Michaels' walk-on music, Sexy Boy. So one of those will be getting played for Lee Miller, and I've got a funny feeling it might be the Shawn Michaels song that will be getting played for him. So, and more importantly, we've got a special guest, haven't we, Ross?
We do have a special guest, but we're not going to tell anyone, are we?
We're not going to tell anyone. It's going to be a secret for the night, so we've got a big surprise special guest, as well as Sean and Josh from Folk TV joining us to review the season so far. Big Grant from Still Games is going to be hosting the quiz. Plus, we'll have the legendary visit to the big blue chair yet again. If you don't know, if you weren't at the last one, basically we're looking for tales of debauchery, much like the Graham Norton big red chair, and Lee Miller will be judging who has the most debauched story in order to win a captain's armband. Like we say, it's the only chance in the season where adults get to win a captain's armband by just telling us about just debauched stories. So
a drunken night out, whatever.
Yeah, and I've got to say thanks to Phil Lauder as well, who's just kindly donated a Keeler Davis Dunn top, which we're going to auction on the night for a charity of our choosing. So thanks very much to Phil for that. And we've also got a top on the night to an Invincible top from Ola La Wow, which will be auctioned off as well. And we're going to do it for Maggie's this time. You know, Maggie's up in the Larbert at Forth Valley. So that's going to be our chosen charity, as well as donating your money to the Falkirk women's team as well. 20% of the profits of the night will be going into the...
So, John, that sounds like we're going to have three shirts in total then. So we're going to have the Keeler David... get my teeth back in. Davis Keeler done. We're going to have the Ola Well, and big time Chris McGill is also bringing a signed Invincible shirt along on the night as well.
Absolutely. So hopefully we made over £1,000 for the charity last time. So hopefully we can make a whole bunch of money this time as well for Maggie's down at Larbert. So yeah, it's going to be a great night. So look forward to meeting you all when we're down there, and Ross will buy you a pint. That's,
all 200 people.
But yeah, you're Ross. It's Ross's round. It's Ross's round. Aye.
Pints and halves all round then.
Pints and halves all round, courtesy of Ross. So there you go, that's official. Falkirk Gay Support Society are also having their very own night. They're having one at the Camelin Social Club. Is it we've been through this before. Camelin, Camelin, Camelon. So they're having, whatever the way you pronounce it, I'm going for Camelin. They're having one at the Social Club on the 8th of November. Oh, that's my dad's birthday. Maybe buy him a ticket for it. £11.25 a ticket, with all profits going into the football budget. They are on sale now via Skiddle. And the Falkirk Supporters Society draw is back on this podcast, Ross.
Yes, it makes its return. So obviously, as people, regular listeners and watchers will know, there's not been a draw for a few months. However, the FSS got in touch recently to advise it's back, bigger and better. Now, for this first monthly draw, they have already made the draw. However, months going forward, someone from the FSS will pop on and we'll do the draw live.
It's a bit like when the lottery used to go round about the places, didn't it? They kind of, they flash to someone, or like in Ant and Dec where they flash to like a car park in Denny or something like that. We're going to have that, like a guest appearance doing the draw every week on every month in Falkirk Daft. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. So we've got four winners that have been sent on by the FSS, and we'll start in reverse order. And we've got, there's two new prizes, John, this month, and it's courtesy of Pi Sports.
Our friends at Pi Sports.
Two sets of two Pi Sports vouchers for the upcoming.
Listen, that's like winning the lottery. Pi Sports vouchers.
So the first winner of a Pi Sports or two Pi Sports vouchers for the Dunfermline game is Alan Wagstaff. So well done, Alan. And the second voucher for two Pi Sports pies at the Dunfermline game is Alistair Moody. So well done, Alistair, as well. And then we come on to our sponsor, very generously, Brian Flynn at Behind the Wall. He donates a voucher every month to the Falkirk Support Society as well. And the winner of that voucher for this month is Kevin Boardman. And last but not least, Boardroom Hospitality for two, and it goes to Stephen Livingston. And if that's the Stephen Livingston I think I know, then he will have a fantastic day. And if he's looking for someone to go with, he's a shout.
There you go. Ross is Ross will give you the tour. I mean, I'm pretty sure Ross could do the tour on his own right now. If Stevie Jackson, who normally does the tour, has got a day off, I've got your man right here, Stevie.
Special shout out, actually, John, when I was in collecting the captain's armbands that we're going to use on the live event during the week, it was before the Livingston game, and I bumped into Murray McIntyre, and he's looking very, very well. 90,
wow.
Is it 90 or 91 now? He's just had his recent birthday, hasn't he? In fact, he was 90 because they presented him with this shirt and everything, so he's going strong, and he's doing very, very well.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant to hear. Big Hendo, Liam Henderson, he is doing a academy course during the summer holidays at the stadium. It's going to be on Friday, the 25th of October. 5 to 16-year-olds will get to train with Hendo and other pros. The first session is going to be free, so get involved now. It's footforwardcoaching@gmail.com. If you've got a Wayne who wants to get involved in football, wants to learn from one of the best, let's face it, in Big Hendo, footforwardcoaching@gmail.com is what you want to message on. We'll put the link out. I think if actually the link is on our socials right now, if you're needing to get it there. So yeah, I messaged as well. I was like, any chance of a 43-year-old man looking to improve his seven-a-side game getting involved in that? But I've not heard back yet, so no, asking for a friend.
Can't
hashtag.
Yeah, can't see I've been pied.
I mean, I really could do with a bit of a help with my game. Though I scored a couple of goals on Monday night. I was quite proud of that. There we go.
Yeah.
Big news from the club this week, and I'm absolutely gutted to find out that Graham Carbis and Graham Stewart, who have been integral in the commercial team, are both leaving for other opportunities. You know, they're great guys. I don't know if you've had the pleasure of meeting either of the two of them. Carbis was involved in the, you know, he's the wheeler and dealer. It's like Del Boy and Rodney, honestly. Carbis has always basically twisting Ross's arms to sponsor lots of stuff. So it's actually going to save me money in the long term now, Ross.
You're actually quite happy that he's moving.
I'm delighted he's going. Delighted he's going. The next person, Paddy Harey, will be right on to you now, Ross, going, do you want to sponsor this? Oh, of course, yeah, sponsor that.
I'm sure Paddy will be straight on the line now. But as you said, John, two brilliant guys. And obviously, I know they've both got different career paths now, that from what they've said, and I know we've caught up, well, I personally caught up with Carvis last week as well. A brilliant opportunity. It was too good to turn down for him.
Yeah.
And we've all been there. Listen, we've all been there.
It's life, it's work, it's a job, you know.
But from a club perspective, I said this on, I don't know if it was Pine Bovril or whoever, somewhere else, when someone was talking about it. I fully trust Jamie Swinney to bring someone or two people in that will be either just as good as the boys or potentially even better. And I'll tell you why. Because it was Jamie that recruited them in the first place. So he knows exactly where the club has been. He knows what they need going forward. And I'm sure whenever those successors are appointed, we'll all back them massively. You may not, because they'll cost you money. But in terms of both Grahams, yeah. I think Graham Carvis finishes up just before the Dunfermline game. I'm not sure when Graham Stewart finishes up. So if anyone sees him, please do shake their hand and wish them well.
The commercial. We've talked about the commercial records we've sat over the last couple of seasons. That was in League One as well.
Yeah.
So both have done a sterling job in there. And I see the adverts up for the jobs now. So if you've got any sales experience or are a Falkirk supporter, get involved. I mean, imagine the dream of working for Falkirk. That'd be great, wouldn't it? I'm just going to sack my job. And I mean, I've got no previous sales experience. I can talk a good game, though. So I reckon, yeah.
Oh, you could. Yeah, you can do. You can.
Get the hat in the ring and we'll go from there. What about you, Ross? You can jump in as well with your banking experience, I'm sure. We could play like a double team.
Right. Well, Camden, sir. I think. I don't know if the commercial world of football is ready for you and I.
True. Del Boy and Rodney, part two. There we go. Talking about Del Boy and Rodney as well, actually. You know, my mate Andy, he's in a band, Miracle Glass Company, great band. Go and check them out. He also does his own solo stuff as the Duke. Now, I dragged Andy, it was last Christmas, actually. Dragged him to a Falkirk game. He lives in Edinburgh now, and I dragged him to a Falkirk game. And talking about the podcast, and I said, you know what, you should write a theme for the podcast. He's a very talented musician. He can play. He's one of these guys that picks up an instrument and can play it, right? So he took on. So 6 months later, he finally remembered about this conversation, and he's wrote a theme tune for the podcast. Now, here's my thinking, right? We've got the fantastic Sean and Josh at the start of the podcast with the intro and doing all the commentary of the great goals from last season. But a bit like Only Fools and Horses. You know how there was two theme tunes in Only Fools and Horses?
Yes.
There was the intro theme, and then there was the outro theme. You know, it was Hooky Street. Hooky Street at the end. It was, you gotta have price. Dun, 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 dun. Right, so that was at the start. So I thought we could outro the podcast with this song.
Right, okay.
So it's a bit like Only Fools and Horses.
Until the end.
So, yes, intro and outro, you know.
Okay.
So this is, and do you want to hear it? This is going to be our new outro music. Yes. It's quite fun. Yes, here we go. Thanks very much to Andy Duncan for this. Here we are. Listen in the pub, or you can listen in the bath. For folk of God, the folk of God. For everyone who's getting up and being a folk of bin, the folk of God. We are folk of God.
Classic.
Brilliant. So that'll be our outro song, a bit like the Only Fools and Horses now. So
I really like that. I think, do you know what also reminds me of? Do you remember Fantasy Football League, the back in the day. Do you remember they used to do that? It was a bit of the show called Phoenix from the Flames.
Yeah.
And they used to sing the theme tune to Phoenix from the Flames, the two of them, and it almost sounds a bit like that, doesn't it?
Love it, absolutely love it. And we've had more music sent to us this week by none other than Keith Hogg, who's operations director. I think Keith's official title is at the club.
Something like that. Yep. Safety yep. operations, something. Yep.
Yeah. Head of, we'll call him head of football operations. That sounds really good. But Keith sent us something they found on our laptop, Ross. Is that right?
Yes. So this, I don't know if you've got it ready to play.
I've got it ready, yeah.
I don't think it's my player mind. But the backstory is, so this was a song that used to get played at Brockville. So we're talking late 90s, early noughties. Now, as soon as they started playing this for me, I had this flashback to Brockville. So for those who were lucky enough to go to Brockville and remembering the pre-match or the halftime music, this is for you.
Right. Here we go. Deadly Dynamite.
Love it. Love it.
Love who wrote that song and recorded that song?
I will reach out to him and double check with him because he did tell me about
someone listening. That. Someone listening to the podcast will know who did that.
I'm going to ask him and hopefully I'll be able to if he replies timely. I'll share that before we finish recording. But he did say it was an artist who also did another song that people might remember, so let me message on the now and we'll share that.
If you're in a band and want to give us a jingle for the podcast, that'd be great. Looking at Palermo, Andy Haxton at Palermo, come on, you can better all that sort of stuff. But yes, brilliant. I love the fact we've got outro music for the podcast. Tickets are on sale for Aki's Away and Pars at Home right now. I would get your ticket. If you can get a ticket for the Dunfermline game now, I would get it because I think that's going to be another massive sellout at the stadium.
It will be, yes. I'd imagine those remaining main stand tickets will go very, very quickly. And let's not forget, regardless of how well or not Dunfermline are currently doing, they will still bring a big crowd through that Derby game. And there will be no opportunity for that North Stand to be split. In terms of next week, obviously Aki's away have Aki's have dropped their prices constantly for football games, it seems, from 26 to 25 to 24. They're now charging £20 for an adult next Friday night. I don't know if that's just a one-off because it's a Friday night on the TV or whether that's their new price. It does make it a lot more affordable. And I'm sure there will be another big Falkirk crowd.
School holidays as well. So a lot of kids
school holidays
will probably venture through for its chance to, you know, head through to the game. I don't know if I might make it. I think I'm going to try and make it, but I'll wait and see. We'll talk about it a bit later on in the preview of the game. But, you know, it's the only team we haven't seen in the division so far. But we obviously beat them four times last season, so
three wins and a draw.
I'll be interested to see how they've progressed from then, so we'll talk about that a bit later on. One of our sponsors, Falkirk District Tartan Army, have been in touch and they're saying their seats still available for four buses going to Hampden on Tuesday night for the Scotland versus Portugal game. Get in touch with the guys on their Facebook or X accounts. They've been on the show sponsoring this before, so yeah, Falkirk District Tartan Army, if you're heading through to the Scotland game on Tuesday. I missed the game last night, actually. I only saw a bit of the first half.
I didn't see all of it either. It's been quite a busy weekend pre-holiday for me. I'll tell you a small story before we start talking about the Falkirk stuff. My bum was twitching last night because on Friday, as you know, I was at York Races with work colleagues, and later on in the day, as the beers having flowed, etc., the attention turned to the football weekend betting, and I says to Tom, one of the guys I work beside, big England Leeds United fan, right, and he was like, what about the Scotland game tomorrow, right? I was like, oh, Scotland's got a ton of players out, like genuinely loads of players out. I'm not confident for this at all. And he went and put £50 on Croatia to win, right, and I had forgot about this until the last 5 minutes of the game last night, and obviously Scotland scored, didn't they? Yeah. And I just texted him, I am so, so sorry that I said to you that Croatia would beat Scotland easily. And but then the goal chopped off. But so he still won his money. But I felt bad for a moment. Even though I want Scotland to do well, I felt bad for having given him that tip the day before.
Well, there you go. And you did well at the races?
All right, yeah. I'm not a huge horse racing punter, to be honest, but brilliant, brilliant day out. And for anyone who's never been, York Race is really, really good. Not that bad on the train as well. You're only a couple of hours from Edinburgh. So, and there was loads of Scots going down on the train for that, because that was the second last day of the season at York.
All right, okay. I know that's a lovely wee day at the races. Always good. Always good. Before we move on to looking back at both Livingston and the Partick Thistle game, let's talk about our sponsors behind the wall. We're, of course, going to be in there in a couple of weeks' time for Falkirk Daft Live. But get yourself involved there this season. For home games, you're getting the bus down to the stadium for £5, plus you're getting a pint when you get back up to the pub. I had a very nice pint of Jarl last Saturday when I took the bus down for the air game. And of course, they've got away games as well, £10 for air and Greenock. And I think there's still some spaces. So it's £10 for the away games, except air and Greenock, which are £12.50. And you get the drink when you get back to the pub as well. I think there's still some spaces for the Hamilton game as well, Ross. That's right. Yep.
Yeah, some spaces available for Aki's away on Friday night. And then, but you can also now book your seats for the three back-to-back home games, which includes Dunfermline, Morton and Airdrie home games as well.
So do that by speaking to Scotty behind the bar. You can, I think you can leave a message as well on Behind the Wall's phone. So do that, book your tickets, and of course get into Behind the Wall before and after the matches, because they've got a brilliant selection of beers, lagers, craft and cask ales, and the food's always great. I saw earlier they're doing a mac and cheese pizza, which looks absolutely amazing. So I definitely have to start. We're going to have dinner in there the night before the Falkirk Daft Live, so maybe sample that then. And of course, the Invincible beer is on behind the bar, and I think Brian's getting another supply of Invincible glasses in very soon. So I'm sure a lot of that will be consumed on the night of Falkirk Daft Live, and everyone's going to be trying to get one of those Invincible glasses. Remember, buy it. Don't do that thing of putting it in your wife's handbag and sneaking it out. Right? Exactly. So buy it.
Well, no, I don't think they are a pound now, are they? They do. No. There is a slight increase for the glass. Worth it. It's a collector's item.
Of course, loads of events coming up as well, including the Good Egg Comedy, which is happening with Gary Little, who's very, very funny man. And two nights after, we're on stage, Kiki D with Carmelo O'Gerry, and we are going to obviously absolutely piss on Kiki D's chips when we duet Don't Go Breaking My Heart at Falkirk Daft Live, which I'm very much looking forward to, Ross. There we go.
This is not happening.
Right, okay, let's get into the football then, shall we? And let's talk about two games which happened this week, one being Livingston at home on Tuesday, and two being Partick Thistle at Firhill for Thrills yesterday. And we're going to do that in the company of our guest pundit this week. It's the second time he's been on. It is Mr. Chris Hind.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Morning.
Morning, thanks for getting up. We were just saying, Chris, it's we're recording it in the morning just because of the school holidays. Are you going anywhere nice on your holidays?
Nowhere planned. I've got some time off work, but just at home with the kids.
Ah, right, okay. And the last time you were on, we were also talking about this, was the fact we got two losses we were talking about, which was Dundee in the Cup and Kelty Hearts as well, which is right at the start in the McGuinn era, which is honestly seems like an eternity ago.
Yeah, it feels that way. I was actually thinking about that when you asked me to come back on, because it feels like there's a lot happened in the 2 years in terms of the football club and where we are now, and yeah, day and night compared to back then.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, a bit better this time, because we get to talk about two draws instead of two losses. we've been asking this question, I think, all season. Who's do you think is the worst that's played in the Navy Blue, Chris?
You could take anybody from the sort of Paul Hartley era and, you know, put that tag on them. Personal favourite would probably be someone that came on the park yesterday. I knew you were going to say this. You know who I mean, Mr. Muirhead, for reasons that you guys know.
Yeah. Chris shouted something at Aaron a couple of seasons back, and Aaron bit. Aaron Muirhead was an alright player, though, was he not? He was alright.
He wasn't the worst player to have played for us. But I just think at that time, he was captain, and I just thought he was pretty petulant and not really a good captain. So that are my reasons. And yeah, I probably shouldn't have shouted at him, but what I shouted wasn't too strong, John, as you know. And yeah, he just took the bite, unfortunately.
Did you boo him when he came on?
I gave him a round of applause, Ross, and a standing ovation.
No love lost between you pair. Right, okay, let's first of all then, let's talk about Tuesday night. Let's talk about the disco lights. It was Livingston at the stadium. Disco all around at the start, but not too flashy a performance, though. 5,715 crowd was brilliant. And a fair play to Livy, to be fair. They brought about 400 as well with them, which was decent. Couple of changes, Ross. We had Leon McCann in for Mackie, and it was great to see Cal Morrison back on the bench.
Yep, it was. Leon had obviously came on for Sean in the win over Ayr. So that felt like that was a real easy replacement. Leon, Mr. Consistent when he plays as well. And whilst it was short-lived and we got an update yesterday for John McGlynn, it was really good to see Callum Morrison back on the bench. And what an ovation he got when he came on that night as well.
Yeah, what do you make of the disco lights, Chris?
Pretty impressive. I was quite impressed with the tune that went along with him as well.
I was speaking to Dave Mack, who obviously is our stadium announcer. So Dave has worked in radio as well, like myself, and he was telling me it took him 4 hours to program to that. So like everyone's saying, oh, what about other songs that we can do? It takes about 4 hours to program because you need to program each light individually to the tune and to the beat. But I said to Dave, what if we got some suggestions for songs on Falkirk Daft? Could we send them on to you? He said, I do that, no bother at all. So, any suggestions you would like for the disco lights, Chris?
Well, my all time favourite from way back in the day was always DJ Quicksilver and Bellissima.
So oh, the tune!
That would be excellent. So,
yeah. Right, so there we go, DJ Quicksilver, Bellissima, Ross.
Yeah, I put mine in for him as well. I had said Metallica, hadn't I? Enter Sandman. So that was my thoughts.
And Thunderstruck for me. So there we go, Dave. There's a couple of suggestions to kick us off for the next big light show. Because like you said at the start of the podcast, the nights are fair drawn in. So maybe when we win a game, we could have a light show at the end.
Well, that's it. Because it is going to be dark from about 4 o'clock, isn't it? So
yeah. Really, so what I'm thinking is we could have a different light show for each win that we have. I mean, surely Amarillo's going to get programmed in.
I think he said he's already done Amarillo because the intent to flash the lights when we scored, and we just didn't get a chance to see that on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And we obviously saw that there was a smaller light show for when the teams came out too, just not as heavy.
Yeah, no, but yeah, looked great. And as I noticed that view from the terrace on the telly the other night there stole your video, Ross.
They did, but they quoted another 30.
By the way, I'm having the 30 out as well because they nabbed your video as well without asking permission. Naughty. But then they credited the 30 and didn't credit poor Ross. I'm glad the video that you put out wasn't the version where you must have edited out the version when you were filming it, because I was chanting behind you, here we fucking go.
And that's, there was two or three videos and you were giving it the here we go, weren't you? I edited that part out.
We made it family friendly, so there we go. Let's talk about the Livingston game. A very, very big, well organised, physical side. What did you make of the game, Ross?
Yeah, I expected a tough game beforehand, and we got it. I had Queen's Park as my sort of who I thought had been the hardest team we'd played so far up to Tuesday night. But I would say it's now Livingston. For a combination of reasons, I thought they were big, physical, they defended pretty well. I don't think they're great going forward, hence why they don't score too many, but you can definitely see why they don't concede many as well.
Yeah, what do you make of them, Chris?
Yeah, really similar to Ross. I think they've let in 3 goals all season in the league, which sort of tells its own story. Not much going forward, but defensively really, really sound. I was actually really surprised yesterday because they played Inverness in the Cup, and I don't know if they changed their team around a little bit, but they conceded 2 goals to Inverness, which came as a surprise. But yeah, really tough game, and I guess we sort of huffed and puffed a little bit to try and break them down, but just couldn't get there.
I was quite impressed by some of the players that they had. I mean, the boy at left back, Montano, I think looks a right good left back. I was really impressed by him. And the boy Nottingham is a giant in the middle of that defence. Absolutely. So from set pieces, you always thought there's a bit of a worry, there's a bit of a threat here. But is it fair to say they came, you know, they didn't come out as, they looked quite, in fairness to them, they looked quite dangerous on the counter to Falkirk, whenever they, and certainly in that first half as well. But yeah, I agree, Ross. I think that's not the best football inside we've played. I think that's still Queen's Park, but certainly, you know, you can see, like you guys are saying, why they haven't lost matches and why they are still unbeaten, because they're a very hard team to break down. I mean, we did have our chances, though.
No, we did. We carved them open, so there was... Not for the only game this week, where they were a wee bit wasteful in front of goals. We were a wee bit unlucky with some of the decisions as well. Obviously, we'll come on to talk about the goal that was chopped off. But yeah, I think that was the toughest game. Like, it was maybe we'd play there on the Saturday. You're then playing midweek, two big games. There was maybe a little bit of a lethargy between the two starting 11s, but... It was a tough game, and you can see, as we said, you can see why they're hard to beat. Through there, when we play them in November, it's not far away, it potentially could be a different game. Will they try and come out at home? I don't know, but certainly on Tuesday night, I think they came for a draw, and they were probably quite happy that they left with that.
Yeah, I mean, chances were kind of few and far between throughout the match, really. There's a couple of short corners, you know. Nicky didn't really, again, have much to do as well, apart from there's a cross came in, which he gathered really, really well. But, you know, was there a claim for a penalty when Ryan McGowan was brought down by... Calvin Miller was brought down by Ryan McGowan, Chris? Do you think there was a shout there?
It was a soft... It would have been very, very soft. One you would have been delighted to have, but been furious if it had gone against you. So, no, I don't think it was.
No, I don't think so either. The big chance, however, was obviously the goal that was disallowed. Brilliant work from Keelan Adams. Again, just his power, his strength, his physicality on that right-hand side, and, you know, breaking down, constantly putting balls into the box. And then we finally got one ball whizzed into the box, fell to Johnny Lawrence, who was able to knock it in, but it was ruled to have went over the line. Thoughts, Ross Wayne?
Obviously, at our angle, it was really, really tough to tell whether he was in or not. When you watch it back, the Lino is not up with play. So how can he confidently flag that as offside? That's the big issue I've got, is... whether it was in, whether it was not, how did he know? Because he was at least 3 or 4 yards behind the player.
Chris, what did you think?
Yeah, I completely agree with Ross. At the time, honestly, couldn't tell. So I didn't get too agitated because I didn't know if it was in or out, to trust the linesman. But when I watched the highlights back, again, probably from a similar angle to what we've got, but a bit further up in the stand, I'm not convinced it was out. And like Ross says, the linesman definitely wasn't up to play. It's a disappointing one because there's a game of few chances, and that was a really good one that we carved out and a really nice goal. But yeah, it just wasn't to be. But I think John McGlynn mentioned yesterday in his post-match interview, you know, he said we had a good goal chopped off, and it looked a good goal when you saw it back in the replay.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a few like videos that people put up of really super slow-mo, and it's hard to tell, but the Lino can't tell. He was miles off it. I mean, by the way, it looked like a wee barrel, that linesman. I don't know who the linesman was. Chris is always an expert in referees and linesmen, so he'll probably know the name of this linesman.
Not so much linesman, John, referees, right. Yeah, but not linesman. But it's interesting you mention that. I was gonna say that in my sort of summary there. I didn't want to shame the linesman over his body appearance, but I'll let you jump into that one. Yep.
It's all right. Ross has fat-shamed many a person on this podcast previously.
I don't think I have, actually.
Maybe I've edited out. I think I did edit out when you fat-shamed someone. So,
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, we won't go into that. I think it looked just in, and it's a shame because that if we'd scored that goal with Livingston, I don't think we're going to come out as... They had that chance, I think, Big Nottingham just... like had a free header and just put it past the post, but that was kind of the only chance he really carved out. And we had that big chance as well, Aidan Nesbitt. There was that one where the goalkeeper kind of almost put it in his own net, and it just went, there was no one there at the end of it, and you just thought, God, see if Ross was on the park, we might have had a chance at that. But the big chance for Aidan Nesbitt, he kind of got the ball, got trapped between his feet, and he was right in front of goal, and you thought, ah.
But I just felt that, you just felt there was all those little things adding up, and you just thought, well, do you know what, it's not our night to get the 3 points. And at that point, a point I don't think felt like the worst. We'd obviously picked up 3 big points on the Saturday, which was my preference. I thought if we're going to draw one of the two games, I'd rather draw against Livy and pick up the 3 points against the Ayr, and we did that.
Yeah, what I said, you know, in previous podcasts, 4 points against Ayr and Livy is huge. If we had 4 points, we're seriously then title contenders for me. And you know, we'll get into the Partick game. I think we've laid that down now, that we are in as title contenders now. And not
this,
just,
is, this is John McAnally, by the way. This is John McAnally in October.
Yeah.
Falkirk are title challengers. Just to clarify.
I think we've got, I genuinely, we've not, like we said, we've not seen Hamilton yet, but having seen the rest of the teams in this division and having watched that yesterday as well, I don't think we've got anyone to fear in this league. And I haven't looked at that.
February last year, you said we're title challengers.
I know. Well, I'm not talking about, like, I'm just saying we'll chat, like, because as I've said before, the club are budgeted for fifth, right? So playoffs was even, you know, a chat. But I look down the league now and I'm like, we're miles ahead of whoever's in fifth now. And you've just got to think, look around the teams that we've played, and you've got to say, we're in this. We're in a title challenge now. And, you know, I would thought we were going to be in a playoff contenders challenge and maybe sneak fourth at a push, you know. But having seen all the teams now, I do think we're challengers for the title now. Chris, what do you think? Because you're like, Chris is like me. Chris is a total pessimist as well. Yeah. So what do you think? Say, if you say we're the title challengers, that will confirm for me.
Nah, yeah, I was just going to say, you've just shocked me there. It's like you've been spending too much time with Ross. I will not declare that we are title challengers. I will not declare we're going to win this league, anything like that.
I'm not saying we're going to win the league. I'm saying we're challengers. Even,
so, yeah, I guess, yes, we are title challengers. We've got to be given where we are. My little worry around it is just squad depth, because it's sort of starting to creak a little bit just now. If we can get our injured players back and keep the squad, then, yeah, no reason at all why we can't be challenging towards the end of the season. But I will be happy with a safe and secure finish, but no prospect of going back down the way. That was always my ambition, if you like, at the start of the season, John. So I will be happy with that.
Yeah, I'll say right now, we're not going to get relegated. I'm stating that right now, we're not going to get relegated. But
it's an interesting one though, because I was looking at some of the social media stuff yesterday after the game, and there's quite a lot of comments around how it's 2 drop points at Partick, and we're not taking our chances, and it can come back and haunt us, and so on and so forth. And I sort of feel like we're being spoiled a little bit with how good that first quarter has been. If you had said to any Falkirk fan at the start of the season, oh, at the end of the first quarter, you're top with 20 points, you're bitten their hand off for that opportunity. So that is interesting, I think, how expectations are starting to shift quite a bit.
See, the thing is, right, I agree with you there. I agree. I think the expectation has shifted because of how good we've been and the progress we've made. I think the game in isolation yesterday, I know we've not got there to talk about it yet, but the game in isolation yesterday probably did feel like 2 points drop, because we were far the better team.
Absolutely. We'll talk about Partick in just a moment, but let's get, for first of all, our Falkirk Daft rated and Falkirk Dafty for the Livingston game. Ross, who are you rating from that game?
For his overall play, and I know it was a goal disallowed, but for his overall play again, he followed on from the Saturday, I'm going to say Ethan Ross.
Chris?
I'm going to go Aidan Nesbitt. I think us having Aidan Nesbitt back in the team makes us a much stronger team. I just think his energy, his drive, getting on the ball, creating chances, I just think it's fantastic to see him back. And I thought he did really well against Livingston.
Yeah, I'm going to second you on Aidan Nesbitt. I thought Aidan Nesbitt, his drive, his energy and everything he offered in that number 10 role was outstanding. So, yep, Aidan Nesbitt gets Falkirk Daft rated against Livingston. Who's the Falkirk Dafty?
Has to be Craig Telford of You From the Terrace for quoting the wrong
I'm in for that, Chris.
I was going to go with the obvious one, the linesman for the.
Oh yeah, the linesman. Let's give it to the barrel of a linesman. We'll just call him the barrel.
Yeah,
and we'll put the barrel linesman. I have to hold my hands up though, and we're going to give it to the linesman. But I Josh Heggie from Falkirk TV. Wanted to nominate me, and for this very reason.
Oh yes, I forgot about this.
Yeah. Yes, and I thought I'd got away with it. So when part of the way I thought I quite fancy a wee coffee, and then I'd forgot the milk for the coffee at half time, so I had to run back up the stairs to get milk. And I didn't, obviously it was in that way. I'm trying to look at the game while running up the stairs, and I tripped right in front of the commentary box up the stairs, but it was that way. And somebody helped me up, so thank you, whoever helped me up as well, like an old man. And it was right in front of the commentary, and Cole Dawson was in co-coms as well. I'd spoke to Cole before the match, and then I thought I'd got away with it. I did see a bit of laughter and a bit of thing, because it was that way. I was like, thanks, and just ran away before I thought someone would notice. But apparently it did get noticed. I don't know if it was mentioned on Falkirk TV, but yes, I fell on the way up the stairs, and clearly Cole Dawson noticed it and laughed at me, as did Josh on co-coms as well. So thank you for that. But the lines were still getting the Falkirk Dafty. I'm not having that.
But to ask at the time, John, did you save the coffee, or did you have to go and buy another coffee?
No, coffee was saved. I'm a master of this, Chris. In a pub, if there's a fall, the pint will be saved. You know, so the coffee was absolutely fine. We'll give it to the linesman anyway. Right, okay. So that's our view on the Livingston game. Let's hear what John McGlynn had to say.
John, it was always going to be a difficult game, but it was a game that chances were kind of few and far between. At the end of the day, would you say a draw is probably a fair result?
Yeah, I think you're understating the game. I think that was a brilliant football game. You know, I appreciate you want goals, everyone wants goals, but for a technical game, a game of chess almost, and there was some great football played there. You know, I'm delighted with the way that we played. Yeah, we didn't get a goal, but we actually did get a goal. And from what I can see, I can't guarantee it was out. I certainly can't guarantee... you know, the linesman could tell that it was out. He's 6 or 7 yards behind play, and so how he can tell it was out, I'm not sure. So we've actually scored what I would suggest was a goal. I thought the first half was very even. I thought both teams played some really good football without just getting that killer, you know, in front of goal. I thought we controlled the game in large parts, played some really, really good football. Just couldn't get that goal. Second half, I thought we were the better side. I thought we were attacking much more. It was mainly transition stuff from Livingston's point of view. And Calvin's got a good chance, you know. If he's that bit sharper, he gets his shot in a bit earlier. It's a 1v1. It's a 1v1 with the goalkeeper. The defenders came from next to nowhere and managed to, you know, get there in front of him. And again, after another good move, you know, Nizzy finds himself a few yards out trying to get the ball past the goalkeeper. It was another really, really good chance. In a game of not an awful lot of that, these ones are key moments, absolutely key moments that we could have won the game. I think we deserved to win the game. No by a country mile, but I think that we did enough there. Loads of effort on the back of playing Ayr United on Saturday, a tough game then, to playing the next team around us, Livingston, in a matter of days. The effort for the players was magnificent, absolutely magnificent. And play some great football.
So there we go, that was Livingston. A couple of responses. Well, we go through a few of the responses that we got on Twitter to this game. Let's do that as well. Because, yeah, I think, like you say, there's been this expectation starting to shift a wee bit, which is worries me as a pessimist. But I can see why it's happening. So let's just check out your views on the light show and what happened behind the wall. Thank you, Brian. Thought it was a decent performance. They're probably the best side we've played. Beat Partick now, please. That didn't happen. Craig, another pessimist in who we sit beside. Livy got what they came for. Very well set up defensively. Probably the best defensive team we've played. Congested the wide areas in the midfield to stop us. Top of the league and no other injuries. Move on to Partick and hopefully a better referee. Was it a better referee? We'll talk about that in a minute. Chris says, we were very wasteful tonight against a team that came for a draw. The chemistry wasn't there at times. and we're sorely missing the presence up front of McKeever. A few look tired and injuries starting to take their toll. Great to see Cal getting minutes, but needs sharpness. And Stuart says, your Livy pal was quite obviously talking out of his rear end. That's Stuart Barry, who came on to preview the game. He says, expansive football, give us a break. Same old Livy, no real ambition to win the game. Foul at every opportunity, break up play, and time wasting from the first minute till the last. So there we go. That was your views.
It's a fair shout. It's a fair shout, that last one. Yeah,
I think it was their left back went down injured four times during the game.
And they were cramping up a lot at the end as well. I mean, it just shows you how fit a team Falkirk are, because we just keep going. We're absolutely relentless. Right, so it was a draw against Livy. We were hoping for 3 points at Firhill, but it wasn't to be, despite a fantastic performance, I thought. No changes to the starting 11. However, Cal Morrison came off the bench against Livy. He wasn't on the bench yesterday. Has anyone heard anything?
Just John McGlynn's post-match. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yet.
No.
I hope I'm covering this right, Chris. You keep me right, because if you've listened to it as well. But it seems like Callum had went to the doctors on Friday, and they now have a diagnosis for... Do you remember they talked about how he was having headaches and head colds and stuff? So they've not shared that diagnosis. He's not shared that diagnosis with the fans. But what he said is, in the coming weeks, it will come out at some point. He says, however, in terms of Callum, he's back. He will be back training with the squad next week. However, it will be as it needs to be. So unless Chris has picked up differently, I don't think we'll see him feature in any games over the course of the next couple of weeks. But I do expect him to be back in and around the squad. And he was there yesterday as well, supporting the team.
I hope the wee man's all right.
Yeah, I agree with that, Ross. I think the one bit John McGlynn mentioned that he didn't say was that they almost brought him back too early for the Livingston game. So yeah, like you, I don't think we'll see him in the squad for the next few games.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I read the piece that the Falkirk Herald had done with Callum, and it certainly seems he's going through at a time of it at the moment. It doesn't seem like, obviously, the physical, it seems like it's something going on health-wise rather than any kind of physical injury. So just hope the wee man's all right. And, you know, he's a big loss to that team. You know, he's top goal scorer and has scored for the last three seasons, and it's hard to work without him and Ross. So, yeah, best wishes, Callum. Hope you're all right, mate.
I thought it was really good, the reception he got on Tuesday night when he went for his first warm-up, and both the main stand and the south stand, you know, gave him a standing ovation. And hopefully that helps him through, you know, the personal trouble he's going through just now, knowing that everyone's got his back and are really well on him on. So yeah, that was a good moment.
Yeah. So he wasn't on the bench yesterday. We went with the same starting 11 as we did on Tuesday night. And again, really good crowds heading through. I'm gutted I missed Thistle yesterday. I was just saying that. I know I had it for my family do, but like, Thistle away is such a great day. Ross, you weren't there, but Chris, you were.
Yep. We were the kids yesterday, John. Atmosphere was terrific. And I know, obviously, being that old main standard for it was its drawbacks, but in terms of atmosphere, it was tremendous.
That low roof in it always helps.
Yeah. Old wooden structure as well, Ross. You know, people stamp their feet and stuff like the old Brockwell days. It was a really good atmosphere. Ultras were tremendous. My kids had a great time. They really enjoyed themselves. And it was a really good performance, and I really enjoyed watching us yesterday. I thought we were terrific. And it was just frustrating that we couldn't come away with the 3 points. But yeah, in terms of how the team was, in terms of the reaction post-Tuesday, we never had known they played on Tuesday night. You know, the energy levels were terrific. And I thought it was an all-round really, really good performance, and just so unfortunate not to take the 3 points.
Chris, just to pick up on that as well, see when you... yous may or may not watch both the Falkirk highlights and Thistle's highlights, but when I watched the live feed... from about 10 minutes in on the Thistle live option, and their commentators were so complimentary. Falkirk, best team they've faced all season. They like you just said, they didn't think Falkirk had played in midweek. Such was the fitness and the stamina. And the third point, going back to John saying about the crowd, like how it looked fantastic, that sort of two-thirds of that old main stand, which is what the Thistle camera faces, was full, and you could hear the Falkirk fans all the way through.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Superb atmosphere. And I've now got my 11-year-old son recounting the songs to his mum, who's a bit aghast at some of the language used. But,
Has he got the lyrics to the new one, the Ali Ali one?
He has, yeah. He was that was one he was singing last night, John. So he's he fair enjoyed himself. It's quite funny. He's a wannabe ultra. He's an ultra in the house.
Just
but
like
when you go to the game, he sits in his hands and won't get involved. So
I'd love to, you know what, Harris, like Chris's son Harris, will be in there soon enough. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But I would love to see Chris Hines in the ultras. I think that I would love to see that happen. right, it looked, we were completely 100 miles an hour yesterday, it looked like, in terms of our pace. It just seemed we had so much space in the middle of that park yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the midfield three, Aidan, Brad Spencer and Dylan Tate, I just thought were terrific. And that's what I mean about enjoying. I really enjoyed the game because those three were, you know, spraying the passes around, keeping it simple, constantly moving, you know, creating chance after chance. And to go to Firhill and, like, dominate a game like the way we did, I know the result wasn't like what we wanted, but in terms of performance levels, it was terrific. I've never seen us go to Firhill and play the way we did. So, yeah, like you say, John, we, you know, created plenty of space, but I think that came about through our players constantly moving, changing positions, you know, actually working hard to create that space.
Yeah. I think a big thing of it is Aidan being back in that midfield as well. When he's in front of Spencer and Tate, I think we're an entirely different animal in terms of that midfield. I thought Dylan Tate, the last cup, he came off the boil. Like, since Airdrie, I thought he'd come off the boil just a wee bit. But I think yesterday was exceptional.
Yeah, that was something else. Talking about John McGlynn's interviews after yesterday's game, he mentioned that he feels Dylan Tate's game yesterday in general, he's played at the highest level he's played at since he came through at Wraith. I thought he was terrific yesterday.
Yeah. Big chances with, you know, Hendo hitting the top of the bar. There was that brilliant, Tate had a shot. He played that magnificent ball through. Like, it was, what a ball that was that he threaded through.
Which was almost similar to the goal that was disallowed on the Tuesday night. Just Dylan, his range of passing is just fantastic. And that long diagonal sort of ball for Keelan to run onto, like, how many times do we see that work now? It's brilliant.
I know. Like, he was absolute, him and Spence, like you say, I mean, I think I was a bit hesitant to say it, but the best midfield in that league. The when the three of them are on their game, and just the interplay, and they're constantly switching. You know, Spencer will drop, Tate will go, vice versa. Aidan will drop in, let one of them go forward. It's just brilliant to watch, and the passing and the one touch stuff that they pull off. And I think yesterday it was one of the best, like, in terms of performances for me. It was one of the best of the season.
Me too. Yeah. No, me too.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a good point you make, John, about how the way we play football, like, if you went along to see Falkirk as a neutral, you couldn't help but be impressed by how we actually play the game of football. And I know that seems really simplistic. You know, we wouldn't care if we played hoofball as long as we won a game. But the style that we've got, the way we're playing, it's terrific to watch. You know, it really is.
Is it, this is a question probably for another time, and actually probably for a question for the Falkirk Daft Live event. Is it the best footballing side we've seen from Falkirk?
Again, I was thinking about this. I would say yes. I think I would still rate the Jeffries team as being my favourite team, you know, that era in the early to mid-90s. But I think in terms of this team just now, they're a close second in terms of the best ever Falkirk team. But also, I think they are top in terms of how we actually get the ball on the deck and play football.
Yeah. For me, it's always been Ian McCall. For that system we played, Ian McCall, the 3-5-2, I thought with the football that season was outstanding. And we'll talk about Jim Jeffries. What are you thinking, Ross?
No, I would agree. It's certainly of the modern era, it's the best football we've played in 20 odd years, and probably since the sort of McCall, and then remember the 2006 Yogi team, We played some fantastic football that season as well. However, in terms of, like, game after game after game of relentless football, I would say this has to be up there. There is this growing expectation, which we talked about, but the expectation is only there because of what we're witnessing. it's not because of like a, some non-Falkirk fans always say, oh, you've got a bit of arrogance about Falkirk. It's not arrogance, it's what you're, it's, we're being proud of what we're watching and we're seeing the proofs in the pudding and we're getting results with it. We're onto something special. We really are this season. And it's not going to be a shock that I'm saying this, but I think this is our league to lose. I know it's October.
Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Listen.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you why.
Oh, Jesus. Awesome. I was like, I'm putting myself out saying, we might be in the title hunt here, right? And you're coming in with the T-shirts made up.
We are. I know it's only 2 points clear, right? We're only 2 points clear. We are the best team, though, in this division. If we can continue, and that's the if we can continue the form that we're in for the vast majority of games, not every game, but for the vast majority of games, we will win this league by a dozen points.
I really hope other teams don't listen to this podcast and then clip that bit up and put it out on social media. There we go. He's put his balls in the vice. Fair play, Ross. Fair play. I will not go as far. Remember, up to last February, I was still saying I'm worried about Hamilton, right? So, right. Well, you, well done, Ross. Right, okay, let's move on to the second half. We got our goal, finally got our goal, and it was a great Aidan Nesbitt, again, just that wee clip fall. I do not know what the Partick Thistle defence were playing at, by the way, for that goal. And you just weren't going, how has he got all that space down the left? It was just a simple chip ball over the top, and Ethan Ross runs through it. Something that Calvin Miller has been quite guilty of recently is when he's been queened through, he's not had the best chance, but there was that chance against Livingston as well, that Calvin Miller, but Ethan Ross on that left-hand side is just, at the moment, just what a player he's turning into, and just a beautiful little finishing past the goalkeeper. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's a sign of a player whose confidence is really high. The fact, you know, it's a fantastic ball by Nesbitt, like you say, and Ross ran through to it. And when he was running through, I'm thinking, what's he going to try and beat the goalkeeper, try and go around the goalkeeper? But his confidence is so high, he knew, just hit it early before the goalkeeper had a chance to actually settle himself. I think he said that in his post-match interview that he tried to do it before the goal had a chance to get his position and close him down. But yeah, really terrific assist and a terrific finish as well. Yeah.
One thing I've been raving about recently, and you guys will be bored of this because you sit next to me, is the fact that when you're in that one-on-one situation, why do strikers not try and take it past the goalie these days? Because you're bound to get, if you do that, the goalie will come at you, and if you know you've got a chance of getting a penalty. I've never understood that, but fair play to Ethan, like you say, you know, he took the chance before the keeper was able to set himself, and it was a great finish.
It was a very, very, very cool finish. I had no doubts in my mind when he was one-on-one that we were going to score. And I know because you said there about Calvin. Calvin's now had two or three one-on-ones where you're not sure. Even as brilliant as Morrison's been over the last few years, on a one-on-one situation, he doesn't always find the back of the net either. Whereas just now, Ethan is playing so, so well. As Chris said, the confidence is sky high. Is it the arm? Is it the headband? Who knows? But let's just keep it going. And the guy just seems, if you count the goal, I know it was disallowed, but that would have been four goals in four games, just like, four goals in three games, beg your pardon. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he's absolutely on fire at the moment, Ethan. We didn't talk about Calvin Miller, obviously, clipping the top of the bar as well with the free kick. I mean, we were just dominant in that display, but right after I don't know if it was game management or what, you know, you could pick up a few mistakes in the build-up to the Thistle goal, which came right after Ethan Ross had scored. Keely Adams obviously getting caught on the ball a bit, and then Brian Graham does Brian Graham things. Hit it, great strike, hit it. Could Nicky have done, maybe got down to it quicker? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's a little bit harsh on Nicky. I think it was a really, really good finish, unfortunately. And Sean in commentary and Falkirk TV sort of set the scene in the first half when Graham hit the crossbar. It was offside, but he said, you know, you can't give Brian Graham a sniff or too many chances. And he had, like, you know, two chances all game. One he hit the crossbar and second when he scored a goal. It was just being on the ground at the time, it was just a bit deflating because we'd obviously worked so hard to get in front, and then we only held it for 2 or 3 minutes. And whilst it was a great finish, like you say, John, it was a bit scrappy in terms of, you know, giving the ball away cheaply. But yeah, great finish. I don't think Nicky could be at fault for that one.
No, I would agree, Chris. I don't think Hogarth had much of a chance with it. I kind of feel as if I don't really want to kind of have a go at Keelan either, because like, it's had such a good game, right?
Yeah.
And even if you take like 10 seconds back before he lost the ball, he had won the ball off them. So he had broke up an attack. And yeah, he's obviously lost the ball. They've played a really quick 1-2, and then Brian Graham's scored an absolute peach. We know what Brian Graham's all about. He's done that for 15, 20 years. I thought at that point, though, there was still a lot of time for us to come back into it and win the game. And we obviously had chance after chance after chance. John, you said they were dominant. It was a dominant 90 minutes. And how? It's poor finishing. Being wasteful is the long story short. But how we didn't walk away with 3 points.
A couple of things, Ross, I think. One, the woodwork. You know, we hit the crossbar and the post, I think, 3 times combined.
Yeah.
And interestingly, when Thistle announced their man of the match over the PA system, it was their goalkeeper. He was man of the match.
Yeah.
So yesterday, yeah, there was opportunities that were wasted, but I don't look back in the game thinking we were overly wasteful. I think it was a combination of their keeper making good saves and obviously the crossbar and the post getting in the way.
Yeah, and the ref not giving a penalty as well.
Well, what did you make of the penalty, Quaim?
Was that the Calvin Miller one in the first
half?
I thought it was a penalty. And having looked back at it in the highlights, I thought it was a penalty too.
I thought it looked like a penalty as well. It's like, it was like the secondary, so he got past the man, it was almost like I would say it was a penalty as well, absolutely. But like say, Chris, there was chances to win after they scored, and it was just what it just we for such a dominant display. It was just disappointing that we didn't come away with those 3 points, because it was. I don't know if this will got the tactics wrong or what they were thinking, but like I say, the space that midfield were finding was ridiculous, which is great to see. We've talked about Oliver, obviously had a couple of chances yesterday as well, that glancing header that just went past the post. He had one that the keeper saved. We are missing Big Rosso, aren't we? We really are. It's just a shame that we've not been able to go out and get someone, because we know what Gary Oliver offers the team. He does it so well in the park, Gary. He holds up the bell. He just drops for me. I've always been my criticism that Gary drops too much and into that kind of 10 role a bit rather than being in the box. But, you know, he's having to do the job that Ross does, and it's a big shoes to step into. But, yeah, we really miss that number 9, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. And I think a game like yesterday is a really good example where he can either hold the ball up, McKeever, and bring us into play, or he'll be that poacher in the box. You know, he's got a fantastic combination about him. I think as well that the injuries are having an impact in terms of substitutions we can make. You know, when we've got a full squad and you look to the bench and we can bring on someone like, I don't know, Ethan Ross with 20 minutes to go, or the place gets a buzz because you know the calibre of player you're bringing on is the same as what you've just taken off. I think at the moment, and it's no disrespect meant to individuals, but the squad depth being as it is, when you go to the bench, you're bringing on players who aren't quite at the level of the guys who have started, so the subs aren't having quite an impact as they might otherwise have done with a full squad.
I mean, you've still got Alfie. You've still got Alfie. Captain Chaos bringing the chaos on. You've still got him.
He was... I don't quite know what it was yesterday, whether it was he was playing on the left to start off with before he switched across to the right, but I just thought he was really ineffectual yesterday when he came on. So.
I thought he did better when he was on the right.
That happened at Livingston as well. He switched him on to the left, and he just wasn't effective at all when he went out to that left as well.
But you went from having Ethan Ross on the left, Calvin Miller on the right. Once the subs were made, you then had Nesbitt on the right hand side and Alfie on the left. So it just felt like it wasn't quite as effective as it was before the substitutions.
It's interesting as well. Obviously, Ethan Ross was saying is absolutely on form, banging goals. When Calvin's out on the right, I don't think it's the same player as when Calvin's on the left as well. I know he's come out and said, I don't mind where I play, but I just think you lose a wee bit of Calvin when you put him out on the right as well. I mean, like you say, we've talked about he had his chances and what have you, but he's just not that effective as he's one on the left. But at the moment, you know, Ethan Ross is undroppable on that left hand side. But yeah, chances galore. What's happening? We'll see what John McGuinn said after the match.
John, based on today's performance, safe to assume that you're standing here frustrated again that we're not leaving with all 3 points.
Disappointed for the boys because they put in so much into that game. It was a really, really good football performance. I think for any purist coming in watching that game today, they would have seen a team that played some excellent football. Yeah, it's all about winning. Yeah, and we tried to do that as best as we possibly can. We just didn't quite keep the lead long enough from scoring the goal that we got. I thought we dominated probably the game from start to finish. It was a really, really good performance, and that's why we would be more gutted for the players and all the fans that came here today. 1,424 fans today. Amazing, absolutely amazing, guys. The noise that you made, the atmosphere that you created, I can't thank you enough. And I know you guys would go away a little bit disappointed as well, but 20 points in the first quarter, can't be too disappointed with that. If we play like that, more often than not, we're going to win. So a lot of positives to take, albeit that there is obviously an element of disappointment that we didn't get all 3 points that I feel that we were play deserved.
You can't, especially can't be disappointed with the amount of chances created as well, and obviously a few coming off the woodwork as well.
Yeah.
Pretty fair to say that we've been a bit unlucky in that respect over the last few games.
Yeah, we could have scored more goals last Saturday against here, and Tuesday night we got a goal and it's disallowed, and it's not. It is a goal, it's actually a goal, shouldn't have been disallowed. And today we played exceptionally well, and the goalkeeper's played really well. He's had some great saves. Great save in the first half of Keelan Adams. Keelan's hit that post and another one there. I think the goalie had a save from a header. Carried over the header, and maybe two or one went by. Numerous chances, as you say. Calvin shot, it comes off the top of the bar. I think we're saying that Hendo had a header in the first half that again was maybe flicked from someone else and it goes off the bar. So yeah, one of the days where the guys have put so much into it and a tough week, you know, to play Air United, big game, and Livingston, another taxing game, energy levels, and today the guys were still running on plenty, you know, the energy levels that they had, the way they popped the ball about, the running off the ball, the pressing, counter pressing, getting the ball back quickly, starting new attacks, you know, probing, trying to get through the defence, and then everything was there, so can't complain.
Can I just say, and granted he didn't say the league is ours to lose, right, but what he did say was if we play like we did most weeks, we will win more often than not, and as that's what, pretty much what I said as well.
Yeah, but you said it in a different way, Ross. You said print up the t-shirts, get those little trophies made up with the, you know, where you wrap tinfoil and get a cardboard. That's what you practically said there, not John McGuinn. Did not say that. But listen, you know, it's right, it's an assessment, you know. But going back, you know, away to Firhill, getting a point. Livingston, we knew was going to be a tough game. They're unbeaten, like say, conceded only 3 goals this season. So if you go back a week and a half ago when you were walking out of with 5 points from those 3 games, I'm happy with that. I'm absolutely delighted with that. You know, whether the supporters are like Ross, title chat, who's waiting to win the league, we're getting a wee bit ahead of ourselves. And as Chris says, the more pessimist amongst us, 20 points in the first quarter is unbelievable. And to be top of the league, 2 points clear at the top of the league from that first quarter, I didn't see it coming. I thought we'd be in amongst it, in the pack. But like you say, we've been great. We've been really, really good. And like I say, we'll talk about Hamilton in a minute and preview the Hamilton game. But we do look like the best team in that league at the moment. It's I can't come away from that, because that's what I've seen with my own eyes. That we look like the best team. Chris, I'm coming to you on this because I think you mean you have very similar thoughts when it comes to Falkirk. What do you think?
I'd agree with you, John. I think we're the most attractive team I've seen in this league so far. I think we're mixing that with actually being effective and getting results. And actually, talking about defensive records, ours isn't too shabby either, you know. So, yeah, terrific first quarter. My little nagging worry is just squad depth and injuries, and can we keep it going?
I wonder if we can get to January and have some of that money that we made off the Celtic and some of the money we've got left in the pot and look at in January. Certainly the striking department will need to be looked at if Ross is still going to... We'll see how far Big Ross is away, but I still think we do need a backup because we went into this 8 weeks with Gary effectively as the only kind of striker. Well, Ryan's there, but it looks like Ryan's out of the picture now. Unfortunately, because you know he is a proper number nine, and he's you know he's been getting cameos off the bench, but it doesn't look like the trust that he you know is being given to Ryan to lead that line. Well, I think he's done all right when he's come on, to be fair to Ryan, but I just think the step up's maybe a bit too much for him. But we'll wait and see what happens in January. Let's get on to what you guys are saying. Gio kicks us off with saying, having played everyone bar Aki's, we know there are no teams better than us. It's just about being consistent now and having a striker on the park. Just pretty much what we just said.
Indeed. Paul says, a good away point. Can't complain. Plenty of effort from the boys. Teams are setting up to frustrate us, which is a massive compliment. We do need to be more clinical in front of goal, though. Should have won this at a canter.
Craig says, badly need a striker. There must have be someone out there better than what we currently have on the bench. Should have won by a mile, never mind a draw.
Ian says, across the game we were the better team, but with McKeever and Cal out, we're struggling to convert. Keep it in perspective, a point away at the pre-season favourites with key players injured leaving us top is not a bad situation at all.
Homer, across the game we were better team.
No, that's the one I've just read it.
Oh, is that, did you say Ian then?
I bet it's his real name.
Oh, right. I'll edit this bit out. Alex says, dominated the game and Tate is different class and bossed it. Some poor refereeing decisions and thought we had a couple of shouts for a penalty for challenges on Miller and Tate. If we can go into games like that with a weakened team, I'll be glad when we get everyone back. That's what Alex says.
Caskey Boy says, it's a good sign when we're now disappointed to draw with Thistle and Livy. If you told me on day one after quarter one we would have been top of the league having only lost once, I would have snapped your hand off.
Yep, and PGM finishes off with saying, definitely the better side, just lacking the cutting edge last couple of games. Maybe a wee bit over elaborate at times today. Shows how far we've come. We're disappointed at the last two results despite being 2 points clear. Bring on the Ackies. There they are. Right. Aidan Nesbitt got it for the Livingston game. Who is getting the Falkirk Daft rated player for Thistle? Chris?
Well, we had a chat about in the car going back after the game, and a unanimous call amongst the kids and me, it was Dylan Tate. Just thought it was different gravy yesterday.
Yeah. Ross?
Dylan Tate for me as well, from everything I saw. Maybe pushed my Ethan Ross bit, Dylan Tate yesterday, brilliant.
Aye, hat trick for me, Dylan Tate, just the space that he's finding in the middle of the park. And in our star shot ratings, like we've discussed last week, like the Herald used to have, that means Dylan Tate is now top of the Falkirk Daft rated table with three Falkirk Daft rated awards so far this season. Alfie Agyeman just behind him with two. There you go. Right, have we got a Dafty?
I do. Yep.
Go on, Chris.
The obvious one would be the aforementioned Mr. Muirhead, just because. But another shout, Chris McGill. And the reason for this being during the warm-up at the start, we were watching the players, and one of the balls came to where Chris McGill was, and Michael McKenna shouted him to pass it back. Now, there was about 5 yards between Michael McKenna and Chris McGill, and Chris McGill managed to pass the ball so badly, it ended up about 20 yards away from Michael McKenna, who just looked at Chris McGill and shrugged his shoulders and went, what was that? So that was my nomination.
Ross?
No, listen, I'm happy for Big Time to get it on that basis.
This is it. It would have been two awards for Chris, but we didn't give him the upside. We didn't give him that one, did we, in the end? Oh. So I'm in. Big Time Chris McGill. Kit man extraordinaire is the Falkirk Dafty of the week. There you go. I immediately regretting this because we're trying to get stuff. He's giving us side shirts for charity for the Falkirk Dafty. He's giving me a match board shirt to do at my charity event as well. But I'm just going with what they say, mate. It's nothing to do with me, but I've just typed in Big Time Chris McGill for the Falkirk Dafty of the week. There we go. Brilliant. Chris, thank you so much for joining us this week on Falkirk Daft. But before we go, it's Falkirk Daft versus. Now, Chris, Last time you were on, we didn't do this, but I'm sure you've heard the podcast this season, where we go up against the listeners of Falkirk Daft in a penalty shootout style scenario on questions on Falkirk. So five questions. Ross has them. You're going to be facing me this week, and I've got a bad, bad feeling about this because I know Chris is a bit of a stato. I know Chris is well versed in Falkirk, and we've grown up in the same era. So I've got a really bad feeling this could be the first loss. But I'm confident. Let's go in. Confidence. Come on, I had a tiger. So Ross, you've got the questions this week.
I do indeed. Now, John, are you writing your answer down?
And yeah.
Chris is shouting out, obviously, after you've written and shared yours, is that right?
Got a bit of paper here to write my answer.
Okay, tell me when you're ready.
I'll get another bit of paper because I've only got one bit of paper here. I'll go and get another bit.
Okay.
Right, I'm back now, I'm back. I've found my Scottish Widow insurance annual plan summary for my life insurance, so we'll use that because I don't think we'll be needing this. That's okay. Fine. There we go.
Right.
Bloody hell. Just looked at it inside there. I should maybe think about topping the wife off because that's all right.
Anyway. Guys, before we finish up today, can I ask a small favour from you both? Katie, my daughter, is a huge fan of the podcast, right? And it's her birthday on the day of the Dunfermline game in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay.
And I wonder if you guys could give her a Falkirk Daft happy birthday for the 26th.
The birthday section is back. We brought this in last week, and this is fantastic, Chris. I'm glad you've... So, happy birthday, Katie.
Happy birthday, Katie.
We'll see you. To be fair, Katie, we're only two or three down seats down from you, so we'll say happy birthday to you on the day as well, but happy birthday on the podcast as well. Right. Love it. I'm ready, Ross. I've got my life insurance plan and I've got
fantastic
paper. Here we go.
Okay. So I'm quite happy with my questions that I've chosen this week.
He was going on about this before the show started, Chris. He was saying, the questions are great this week, mate.
Right. He's ready. So question number one. Remember, John, you're writing yours down. Chris, you can shout out before. So question number one. Falkirk played their first match ever in the SPL in 2005. But who played in goals in the first match versus Inverness Caledonian Thistle? So Falkirk played their first match ever in the SPL in 2005, but who played in goals in that first match versus Inverness Cali? John, you need to write your answer down.
All right, I've written down an answer. I don't think it's right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris.
I'm between two. I'm going to go for Matt Glennon.
Oh, he's got it right. Damn it. Chris has got it right because I've written Jerome Lambers.
It's not Jerome Lambers. It was Matt Glennon.
I knew that. 1-0. As soon as he said it, he was right.
1-0 to the pundits, John. 1-0 to the pundits. Geez. So, question number two. Falkirk will play in the relaunched Stirlingshire Cup this season. We last won this in 2014, but who did we beat in the final? So Falkirk were playing the relaunched Stirlingshire Cup this season. We last won it in 2014, but who did we beat in the final?
I've written down an answer.
This is a complete guess. I'm going to go for Alloa.
Okay. I have written down Dumbarton.
These are both wrong. This one. It was Stirling Albion at the Falkirk Stadium. We won 2-0. And the scorers, just if you're interested, were Rory Loy and Scott Shepherd.
He was at East Fife for ages, wasn't he?
He's still at East Fife.
So it's still 1-0 to Chris. Question number three. How many goals did Falkirk score in the League Cup this season?
Oh, Jesus.
We're obviously now out of the League Cup, but how many goals did Falkirk score in the League Cup season? So this is group games and knockout. You're giving your game away here by using your fingers.
I'm just going to say hi to that. I'll hide my fingers. Right, I'm going to write down
Right, you write your answer down then.
Right, okay.
Okay.
I've got an answer.
Now, I'm looking for an exact answer. Closest is not going to be.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I've written down 11.
15.
Chris. One of you is right.
Chris is
not John.
And it's not John. It's 2-0 to Chris.
Yes! So this basically means I need to get this right and Chris needs to muff this, doesn't it?
In case anyone is interested, so the 15 was 2-0 against Dundee United, 5 against Bucky, 4 against Stenismuir, 2 against Hearts, and 2 against Celtic. There we go. So, yes, question number 4. Okay. Including the 2019-2020, a.k.a. lockdown season, how many managers have Falkirk had? So, including the 29-20, a.k.a. the lockdown season, how many managers have Falkirk had?
Is this ever?
No, since 2019.
Oh, sorry. 20.
Yeah, until now, obviously. John McGlynn's a given, so there's I've given you one each.
Well, there you go, thanks, Ross. Is this
And it's an exact number I'm looking for here as well.
2019, right? Okay, I think
including 2019/20.
Are we including interim money?
Yes, we are.
Oh, we're going into. Oh, right. Okay. Right. I'm going to. That's my answer.
Okay. Right. So, Chris, what's your number?
If you include McCracken and Miller as one combined.
No, they're I'm including them separately.
Right, so I'm going for 8.
Okay, John, what have you written down?
I've written down 4, but that's completely wrong, isn't it?
It is completely wrong. And Chris, 8 was bang on. Well done, sir. 8
is ass, man! I knew I was going to get... I didn't get one right, did I?
So the answer was Lee and David, obviously. Were 2019 to 2021. Gary Holt was there very, very briefly in 2021 as well. Paul Sheeran then got the job. He lost his job. Danny Granger was then the temporary manager very briefly. Martin Rennie was then given the gig. He then got sacked. It was Kenny Miller and then Mr. John McGlynn. So that is our 8 there. So that's 3-0.
3-0.
Three now. I'll give you the last question just to see if he's would have got it.
No, anyway. I don't want the last question. I'm in a huff.
So, who wears number 27 in the squad this season?
Is it Michael McKenna?
You're saying McKenna, Chris?
The substitute goalkeeper, Owen Hayward.
Spot on.
Oh my god.
Spot on.
Well, I'm going up the road, right, Chris?
Thanks for taking part. Right.
First blood.
No Champions League music for Falkirk Daft, but let's give it for Chris. There you go. Chris, thank you very much for coming on Falkirk Daft. I'm a little less thankful now, but Ellis, if you want to be a guest pundit just like Chris, please get in touch with us. You can beat me on the quiz as well. Drop us a message to pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk or slide into our DMs right now on Twitter or Facebook. I'm away to have a good, long, hard look at myself.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
So, on to Hamilton next, a team which we said earlier, you know, that's been 3 wins and a draw last season. A team we know very well, but a team that have made a lot of changes across the summer, Ross.
They have. They've brought an awful lot of players in. They've obviously got rid of quite a number as well. Some of the names, though, when you look at their squad, John, so obviously the boy Bradley that was signed for Livy, Ollie Shaw came up. Todorov made the switch across Lancashire as well.
You must be costing a fair amount of money, eh?
You would assume so. And obviously Todorov making the switch across Lanarkshire was an unexpected signing as well, from that perspective. But it's
Plus, they've got Scott Martin back from injury.
They have. That's true. But we, as we said earlier, John, we know what they're all about. John Rankin has them playing us a particular way. And if we're being honest and being really, really honest, it's not exactly a successful way. Like, when you look at their form, it's constantly winning a game, losing a game, drawing a game,
A lot of change. John is a tinker man, John Rankin. He seems to be constantly tinkering with that side.
Yeah,
I watched a wee bit of the game against Morton on Friday night on the telly, and I was like, I wasn't that over impressed with it. I mean, Ollie Shaw he's got 4 goals this season, and you know, when he came into the side, it was like a player going, God almighty, how are they affording him? Because he came from Barnsley, so he must be a fair whack over at Hamilton. I mean, they've had troubles off the field as well. They were fined £5,000 by a panel this week. Yeah. Because of obviously the shenanigans which happened in July when the players weren't paid. So they were fine this week, but you know, they've not got a sponsor, I noticed, on their shirt this season. They didn't get their top. I don't think the top was available to buy. I've seen a lot of Hamilton supporters online grumbling the fact that they couldn't buy the top, but it's been very erratic. But I think, you know, they'll be quite happy. You know, they obviously came up through the playoffs beating Inverness, but you know, they've got 9 points on the board. Do you think they'll be happy with that?
I think they will so far. They may not have been had sort of the supposed early favourites like Raith and obviously Dunfermline are below them. They were expected to be higher. I think Hamilton, I could be wrong, obviously we've not got a Hamilton fan, we can find one to come on, but I think if Aki's finish 9th or 8th and avoid the sort of playoffs and relegation this year, I think they would probably be really happy with that based on sort of how last season went and getting up through the playoffs. Where they are just now is kind of where I thought they would be. I thought they would have a bit of an erratic start. I didn't think they were cannon fodder, genuinely. That's definitely fallen elsewhere. But in terms of this Friday, they'll make it a hard game because they always did make it a hard game, but our quality always eventually shone through, and I think that's what we will see on Friday night, hopefully.
Yeah, interesting, you know, looking at the table, like, they, you know, they've lost quite a few goals as well. I mean, they are the worst behind Airdrie. They've conceded 14 goals, so there's the opportunity to get at them, you would think, come Friday.
No, they've definitely got gaps. They definitely do. And as you've said, they've got the second worst goals against this season. They've not got as Ollie Shaw, I think, has actually got 50% of their actual goals scored. So if we can keep him quiet defensively, then we should have a successful night. But it does mean we need to try and put the ball in the net more than we have been recently, because that is one thing we have, on the face of it, struggled with. Like, I know we scored a couple against there. We didn't find the net against Livy, but the chances created is just phenomenal. We've said it before, or we'll say it again. At some point, somebody's going to get a doing. Will it be this Friday? I don't know, but at some point, someone's going to get a doing.
Yeah, I think without the lack of a proper number 9, I don't think that's going to happen in the absence of Ross until we get him back. But with the form that obviously we've seen from Ethan Ross, he's playing out his skin at the moment. And like I said before, that midfield 3. Aiden, I fancy Aiden Nesbitt for a goal. He's not had a goal yet this season. I think he'll maybe come in and do a job in the league. So I would predict that a Falkirk win this weekend. I think it'll be maybe a 1-0. I think we might sneak by with a wee 1-0 at Hamilton. What do you think, Ross?
I'm going to go slightly better. I'm going to go 2-0. I think we will find our shooting boots again. I think we'll be too strong for Aki's. Would it shock me if we scored more than that? No, it wouldn't. But I think, how amazing would it be to get a couple of goals in the back of the net, get 3 points, and remain top for when we play the Pars a week on Saturday as well.
I know, the big games just keep coming. I'm just actually going to check who Ayr have got, because obviously with us...
Livy.
They've got Livy, right, that. So something's going to give there. By the way, I take a wee draw in that game would be delightful. You know, we suddenly go... If we win on Friday night. You know, there's 5 points then between us and Ayr. And then if Livi and Ayr were to say draw, or even a Livi win, if Livi were to win that game, we're 6 points clear of Livi. Yeah. And, you know, it's 7 points clear of Ayr. That's a big if we get
it. That is a big if.
Friday night, right? It should be interesting. I think it'll be a decent crowd again. Well done to Aki's on actually dropping their prices down to a more measurable level, because the game is on the telly. You don't think you're going to make it because you're centre parks, aren't you?
I am travelling home on Friday, so it will depend on traffic and all that jazz. I'm hoping. I was looking at it last night. I'm hoping that I will be there. Worst case, I've obviously got the comfort of being able to watch it by some means, whether it's BBC iPlayer stuck in traffic or or if we were...
Jillian's doing the driving back up then, is she?
She will be this right away. I'll drive down, she can drive back. I'll suggest that. So.
Get that sorted right away.
However, if the traffic's going well and I might even suggest getting dropped off on the just off... the motorway, obviously, and make my way to Hamilton that way, because we'll come up the M74. So there's a wee opportunity there. You're off this week.
I'm off this week, so I'm hoping to make it through. Though I am got a one of my best pals. We're having a wee day out and go out. We thought we're both off. Well, let's have a wee day out. So we're going out on Thursday. So it might be I might have played my cards too much this week, but I've got brownie points in the bag because we're going down to London tomorrow to see ABBA, the hologram show tomorrow. So me and the good wife are going down to watch that tomorrow. So I might have enough brownie points to blag two. You never know. But yeah, we'll wait and see. But aye, onwards, the Navy Blue juggernaut continues to Hamilton, and fingers crossed it's a Falkirk win.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global.
That is it for Falkirk Daft for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Big bumper edition with the two games to look at, so thanks for sticking with us until the end. I think a lot of people by this point switch off the podcast when we go into the outro bit, where we're going doing all our usual please like, subscribe, review, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and we start talking about our merch, which of course you can get a brilliant new range of stuff available in the minutes. Ross, we need to put a tweet about this again this week, so do that. merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. look out for Ross's tweet going out of all the new merches. But I think a lot of people switch off at this point, so I'm going to give you a random Falkirk player, and you've got to tweet us the name of this Falkirk player to prove that you're still listening to the podcast, and that random Falkirk player is Graham Barrett. So if you listen this far in the podcast, right, just tweet Graham Barrett. People just go like, what the hell are prior people tweeting Graham Barrett?
So Graham Barrett is your new safe word, is this what we're saying?
Yes, indeed. So if you've made it this far in the podcast, you've not switched off, just randomly tweet us with Graham Barrett. There you go. I don't know why Graham Barrett, he just popped this week, he just popped into my head. I was like, who's the Irish striker that used to play up top? Oh, Graham Barrett. I always remember he used to wave to his little kids in the crowd. It was very nice. Good striker as well. I tell you what, Graham Barrett would do well on this team that we've got there now.
He would. I like Graham Barrett. He was always injured as well. That was annoying.
Yeah, he was always injured. Anyway, so tweet us Graham Barrett. And we'll see it happen. Remember, Discord channel, links are below. Get involved in the chat. Sometimes as well, someone puts up a cheeky stream to the game, so that's always good. But I won't let you know who that person is, because it's great. But yeah, get involved in the Discord channel. We'd love to speak to you on that as well. And of course, we're on YouTube, so you can watch as well as listen to us. Right, on to Hamilton. Like I say, the Navy Blue juggernaut continues. And fingers crossed, we're back on here next week talking about going pretty clear at the top of the league, and then onwards to the big game against Dunfermline. We'll hopefully get Stephen Mill back on the podcast next week to talk about that. It'd be great just to see his wee face, the delight I've had recently on when I see him at work. It's been magnificent. So we'll get him, so you can share in the delight and his pain, hopefully on the podcast next week as well. But yeah, in the meantime, you can slide into our DMs, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk or ross@falkirkdaft.uk. brilliant, enjoyed that, Ross. I'll enjoy your time in centre halves with your companion dog, and we'll see you back on here on the podcast next week. And until then,
expect an unexpected better. Mind the bells.
We're folk of Duff, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're folk of Duff, you can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're folk of Duff, for everyone who's caring about being a folk of beer. We're folk of Duff, we are folk of Duff.